Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes. This is The Unexplained. Very nearly Christmas, maybe Christmas when you're hearing this, it may be just after Christmas, whenever it is. I hope that you're about to have a great time, or I hope that you had one and you're looking forward to what is to come. I hope that you're relaxing, and I hope that life is being good to you, whether you're Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, wherever in this world you are. Thank you for being my friend across this year of 2023. Please keep those emails coming. Go to my website. It is, as it always has been, theunexplained.tv. Follow the email link and you can send me a communication from there. And if you've made a donation to The Unexplained recently, well, my thanks at this time of year very much indeed for doing that. It helps it all to keep going. And I know that times are tough, believe me, for a zillion reasons, including my car insurance recently. I know I've mentioned that before. What has happened to car insurance quotations? I got a car insurance quotation, and all my details are the same as they were a year ago. 200% above where it was last year. And I don't know how they explain or justify that. But these are difficult times. And if you've made a donation to The Unexplained in the middle of all of the rising bills and everything else that we've got to endure right now, thank you very much indeed. My Facebook page, the official one, is definitely still there. The official Facebook page with The Unexplained, or of The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. The one with the logo on it and no other similar page on Facebook. And that is where you'll hear all the news of me, whatever I'm up to, or not as the case may be, through the rest of this year, what remains of it, and into next year. Thank you to Adam, my webmaster, for his year of hard work on this show as ever. Thanks, Adam, for getting the shows out. I know that you've been busy too over this last year. Guest on this edition, good friend of mine over the years, somebody who came with us on the first Unexplained cruise in Southern Europe, Claire Broad, the medium. Best-selling author, too. She has followers around the world and a brand new book that is called Heaven Sent. So we'll be talking with Claire. I know that some people email me and say, I don't want to hear mediums. Well, Claire is a medium. Lots of people like hearing her. If you don't want to hear anything like this, then please, by all means, tune out right now and, you know, come back when the topic is more what you want. But there are people worldwide who follow and are in communication with Claire. And the new book is a great one. So we're going to talk about that with Claire Broad, coming right up here on The Unexplained. Thank you very much for being part of all of this. Remember, when you get in touch as ever, please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show. And if your email requires a response, please put that in the subject line very clearly so that I see it. I do get to read, even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, every email that comes in. All right, let's go across London. South of where I'm sitting right now, and talk with Claire Broad. Claire, thank you very much for coming on. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. Very good.
Has 2023 been kind to you, by and large? I'm talking about the work.
No.
Oh. Okay.
My work... Sorry, I'm just laughing. There hasn't been a lot of work this year because I had to take a step back and take care of my health, but there has been massive spiritual growth because of it. So now I am all guns blazing and raring, and 2024 is going to be a great year. I think for a lot of us, it's going to be quite expansive.
Oh, well, you know, I have this thing, though, and I'm glad you're a lot better now, by the way, but I have this thing, this superstition that my listener knows about. And it goes back to, I've had five incarnations with the BBC, mostly worked in commercial radio. I once went on BBC local radio and I had the flu, and they'd stuck me on New Year's Day. And they'd said, literally the team there, and I'm going to put this in my book one of these days. I don't think I've ever told this on any platform before, but it's time for me to tell this story. So I was doing a breakfast show on a BBC local radio station. I came in on New Year's Day with the flu to a note from the news team saying, we were all out last night, so we won't be in to do the news. So there are the scripts, there are the tapes, and as well as doing a music program, which I was, you know, normally I did like current affairs, but it was a music program that morning. Can you also read the news? So I ran for 3 hours until they came in, a one-man radio station.
Cool.
So, but anyway, the point of it was, I went on air and I said, this is going to be a great year. And
yeah.
It wasn't. I subsequently breathed a sigh of relief when I decided to leave them and went back home to live with my mum and dad for a bit. But it was a terrible year. So I never say, all I say is, you know, I hope this year will be good for you. I never make any predictions for myself about it. I don't want to know.
No. Well, I am making a prediction for myself because I know it can't be any worse than this year. So next year for me is going to be fantastic, whatever happens.
Well, exactly. Now, as you know, Claire Broad, and we've known each other for a long time. I think
we have.
I think we might even have met. Did we meet in my Capital Radio days? I think you were doing PR then. When I was on Capital Radio, I think we might have met back then. Anyway, that's 20 years ago, Claire.
It would have been a long time ago. No, I don't think we did, but okay. we do go back a long time.
Oh,
now.
Don't we just? Some people who listen to this show, and this is not going to be a big surprise to you. I'm going to have to turn my fan heater off in just a second because I think my listener can hear it. I've got it on the thermostat, and it keeps going off and on. fan heater, isn't it? Right. Anyway. Some people don't like mediums and mediumship.
No.
Do you understand why that might be?
Sure. I mean, there's lots of reasons why it might be. You know, some people may not be their thing. They're not, don't like them, don't do like them. They may have just heard that they're, taking money, for instance, for people's, troubles. So that may be just they haven't got enough information about it and they've just drawn a conclusion without really knowing much. Other people may have religious reasons for being fearful of mediums and mediumship. There's many reasons, and there are some, there have been absolute, in fact I heard of a story today of an absolute out and outright downright fraudulent activity. So put all of that together and I can see why lots of people wouldn't enjoy mediums and mediumship. However, I'm going to say that the vast majority of people I've ever met, and maybe I am biased, have an interest in it. It's a few that really are opposed. Then most people will just say to me, oh, that's interesting, and if they're not interested, just disappear or you carry on with talking about something else. I don't come across a lot of venom. You do online, but that's online, isn't it? I mean, it's not the real world. In the real world, most people are very interested, and at least I think now we're moving into a bit more of an open-minded phase in the world where people want to know there's something else, or at least they do, because
you've only got to take a look at the situation, the cost of living,
absolutely
all of those public figures, politicians who let us down. People are looking, I'm convinced they're looking for something else, and they're beginning to realize, this is my view, but it's based on all my life's experience from my teenage years really onwards up to today. The ultimate aim of things is good, I think, but the problem with it is that you've got to go through a lot of garbage in order to get to the good. And I think people are starting to realise that, and they're starting to try and find their own way. But that's just my thought, and I'm not going to sit here preaching because it's not what I do, and it's not what I'm supposed to do. So I'm not, but that's just a thought on my part here.
I think you're right. I think people are realising they've got to go within themselves to find the truth. They've got to sort through the wheat from the chaff because they're not getting the truth from the figures of authority that we've been told have the truth. So we're all feeling our way through. And most of us want to know, or, it's not a wishful thinking. I think a lot of us have an inner gut understanding that we don't understand this universe and there's more to it. And anybody that thinks they've got all the answers and knows really doesn't.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you there, and I'm going to stop talking like this, but I'm just going to say this, and I've said to my listener recently that I might start giving my opinions. I don't have any great political affiliations, that's not it, but I just think that if you look at the news, then you would see a couple of stories that seem to dominate everything every day, and it's mostly news, or it's some kind of scandal, and we seem to not do nearly enough about the price of everything, the fact that some people seem to be creaming off vast amounts of money, and yet we are all collectively getting, as ordinary punters, getting poorer.
Poorer.
And this, if things worked as they used to when I started in broadcasting, this would be in the news morning, noon, and night. people would be marching, demonstrating, all sorts of things. And something's happened that made people give up on all of that stuff. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. And, you know, if you're listening to this now, you want to tell me what your thoughts are, then, you know, please do tell me why I'm wrong. That's okay, too. But that is the impression that I get of the way things are. So people are looking for other things, and that's where you come in. Now, you say in the book, Heaven Sent, that we're going to talk about, the new one.
Yes.
We somehow expect our loved ones always to be there, and it's often not until they die or there is a painful parting of the ways that many of us turn our attention to the spiritual dimension of life. That's when people find me. That is you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. So, you know, people are led to me, I really believe, at the right time. At the time in their lives when they're going to be more open to exploring the realms of consciousness. And that's what really mediumship is. It's the spiritual aspect of life. And that equates to, do we understand what consciousness is? Can it survive physical death? And are my loved ones okay? So people, when they bump up against realizing that when a loved one dies, they haven't been told anything about death, it's just been brushed under a carpet, they then start to seek out the people that can maybe help them understand some of the bigger questions in life. So that is when people find me. And my work is very, very important for in the process of giving people some healing, some peace of mind, but also giving them something to think about and explore for themselves. It's not evangelical. I'm not trying to be a guru. I've had personal experiences. I understand that consciousness in some way, shape or form isn't dependent on being in a physical body. It can survive physical death. And I'm trying to explore that with everybody else. So the new book is all about that. It's all about helping people understand their eternal nature, that they are consciousness, which we could also call the soul, is the word that we all understand, and that energy, that aspect of us that isn't dependent on a physical form, survives after death. And my work has been traditionally for the last 20 years all about providing evidence of survival. But over the last 5 to 6 years, I have noticed that those who communicate have been desperately trying to get deeper insight through the wisdom through that they know people are going to be needing, because they know people are looking to understand more. So it isn't just about, I don't know, finding out that granny saw you yesterday in a shop buy a pair of shoes and it proves she's still around and that she lives on. They're trying to help us understand, but do you get that you are an eternal being? You will survive, and you came into this life for a purpose. And life is so difficult at the moment. We are all being traumatized by the news headlines, by the things that we are seeing. Every one of us on this planet is in a state of suffering to some degree or other. Some people are going through horrendous times of it, with war zones and goodness me, things that most of us just don't even know how you would come out of that with any amount of sanity. And the others of us who aren't going through that are watching that, feeling empathy and pain for those people, not knowing how to help. So the spirit world is trying to help us understand the bigger, what I call soul perspective, the eternal perspective, so that we can get a little bit of perspective and start to heal, start to make better choices, start to live our life to a fuller potential than we are. And that starts with really understanding the difference between love and fear, and why it is at the moment there is so much suffering, because people are aligned to fear and not love. And that's because they don't understand that love is not an emotion. It's an energy that they align with. And when they align with fear, they are completely cut off from the love that's in them. And I'm not talking about this from a spiritual fluffy perspective. I'm talking about this from our physical bodies, our nervous system, our brains are geared up so that when we are in a fear, fight or flight mode for survival, we literally get cut off from feeling emotion in our heart. We cannot open up to heart space because the brain will go into the reptilian side, the part of the brain that developed first for fear, fight or flight so that we can survive. And then we are cut off from the emotion of love. So this is serious. This is actually going on because we are being traumatized. Mm. So the spirit world will have the guides that work with me, the intelligences that work with me that aren't people's deceased loved ones, are telling me my work must now go on into soul knowledge, soul understanding, understanding our relationships, understanding the connections that we're making with people, understanding why our relationships don't always work, and how we can understand what love is and move away from fear. Because when we're in fear, we are in a trauma response and we are not able to embody in this world what we need to make better, higher choices as a collective. So Heaven Sent, to be honest, my publisher wanted the title with heaven in it because it would help people feel safe. They understand what heaven is, the afterlife. And I love the term Heaven Sent because I say to the people that I love, they're heaven sent into my life. But I don't want people to think this book is about heaven. It's about who you really are at your core, your eternal nature, your soul essence, the energy that you are, and how you can realize that in your life so that you can live more empowered and then get the most out of your relationships so you can experience love.
Okay. Because it's just to unpick and unpack one thing here.
Yes, go on.
You know, you talked about not living in fear. But the problem is that if you look at those things that I talked about, and maybe I shouldn't have expressed an opinion, I don't know, but I've done it now and I don't care. If you think about those things, so many of us now, and believe me, I'm one of those people, you know, you fear going bust. You fear mm-hmm. not being able to afford the necessities of life. You fear how far prices, for example, you know, unless you've got loads of money, you must have noticed how prices were going up. And you fear how much more they can go up and how your income, you know, you look at your bank statement, you see what you've got or haven't got. You know, you fear what's going to happen next. You don't know whether prices are going to keep going on like this into next year. And, you know, how bad is the economy going to get? And so mm-hmm. it goes round and round and round. And in my head, it goes round and round and round. How can you suddenly switch off and say, I love the world and everybody in it? When you're confronting those things, there will be people listening to what you said who might be faintly affronted by that for reasons, you know, yes. I think I can understand, but, you know, I wouldn't be getting affronted about that. But some people might.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't feel fear and that fear is a bad thing. Fear isn't. Fear is what helps us survive. I'm saying that if we don't start making choices for each other, still talk about finances, you know, if the politicians, for instance, don't start making higher choices where we are putting people together, you know, we're helping people out, we're all screwed, pardon my language. You know, this isn't that you don't feel the fear, it's that you also have a conscious awareness that you are being put into a state of fear, and that when you have a greater perspective and you can see from a wider soul perspective, you are indestructible whether we are sitting in poverty or not, we are indestructible. Now, you know, it isn't always about the money. It's about the fact that we don't understand who we are. We don't understand that we don't have to take all of this oppression that's happening. And if we can embody loving relationships more, I believe that we would make better choices for ourselves all round. So I sound a little bit, I don't want to sound like I'm standing here like a preacher. Mm-hmm. I'm saying to you, this is how it is. We basically love that energy, which we are, isn't being embodied enough because we are being forcefully put into a state of fear. So I'm noticing that in my work, the spirit world have moved me into a field of what is called spiritual crisis, helping people who have been, who have gone either not just physically and mentally, but spiritually now into crisis. So I'm working at the soul level, at the higher level, at the, you know, the spiritual level to help them. And for many people, it might not say it's finances. It might be a business has gone under, for instance. They will be the guys who work with me will be helping me to understand for that person why it is that they signed up, if you want, or they've entered into this world at this time and under these conditions, trying to build a business that hasn't worked. What is the spiritual gain that has happened, even with loss? And believe me, I don't say this lighthearted. I have been through, as you know personally, Howard, I've been through tremendous suffering this year. Tremendous physical pain like I've never experienced in my life, and disability. I understand the meaning of suffering. Genuinely, I do. I'm not saying this light, but I was helped to see the greater of a soul perspective. So that's how the spirit world helped me hang on in there at a time when there were days when I didn't know if I was going to get through the day.
Well, listen, I know what you've been through, and I'm delighted to hear you, as good as you are now, I knew you would be okay. And I know that there were some very, very dark times, especially like through the summer. But you must, you know, even if you are a medium, you must have sat there and thought to yourself, I'm doing such good work here. How come this has happened to me?
I did. I'll be the first to say that I put two fingers up to the spirit world and said, you can forget it. I've dedicated 20 years to you and you sat there and allowed this to happen to me. I went straight to my inner child, straight to throw my toys out the pram, and basically said, you can forget it. I'm never doing this work ever again. Thanks very much for standing by and watching this degree of suffering. But what had happened was, and there's so many paranormal stories I can share in my life, it's just you know which ones to share. Before I went in for the operation, I was told specifically what was going to happen to me, why it was going to happen to me, and this is where it's going to be a stretch for some listeners. I would be working through a previous lifetime's storyline in this lifetime. I was told the what had happened in the previous lifetime, and I was told why it is that that was still, if you want, outstanding. I hadn't completed it, and that through this year, because I had been tortured in that lifetime basically to death, I would be working through the pain and suffering that I'd voluntarily said I wanted to release and heal in this lifetime. And I was told that there would be two surgeries. It all played out. I knew before the surgeon that I would be having two surgeries. They did tell me in the spirit world what was going on, but they also let me go through an immense amount of suffering. And I really did learn then that this thing that we call life is so much greater than we can possibly understand, that even in our suffering, we are evolving.
So you believe... Okay, and here I am jumping in again. And let's not lose ourselves. But I just had to come in with this, and I'm sorry if anybody doesn't like the fact that I jumped in there, but I, you know, got to keep the conversation on point. And I want to just make this point. Mm-hmm. You think that you were told, you believe that you were told that you're paying off a debt from a previous life. Doesn't sound very fair, does it?
No, I wasn't paying off a debt. I was healing a circumstance that had happened in a previous life that I was holding on to in my soul memory. So it isn't. Now, I write about karma in the book, and I say that karma is often looked at as being something that if we've done something wrong, we've got to pay for it. Or if somebody's done something wrong, they'll have to pay for it. Karma doesn't work like that. Karma's much more like Newton's third law. Isaac Newton said every action has for every action, there is an equal and opposite opposing reaction. So basically, a storyline had played out in the past. This is how it had played out with me being tortured, and that I had carried that trauma in my DNA memory, if you want, my energetic memory. And in order to release and heal it, I went through a similar situation in this lifetime, but this time I had the choice to hang on in there because I wasn't tortured. I was being tortured, but not being tortured to death. I nearly died from it, but the circumstances were the same. Only this time I had a choice to move through it and then move on and do the work that I'd been trying to do in that previous lifetime. So I had gone, this is the key thing. I had voluntarily agreed before entering into this world that there'd be key markers that I'd work through so I wouldn't have to do it again. And this is hard for people to take on board. And this requires a level of expanding the mind that some people may not be ready to hear, that we may sign up for things in life that are challenging beyond belief. And that's why it requires having that soul awareness of you are indestructible. You are here to have an experience. You are contributing to consciousness within the universe that is evolving. Mm. And you're part of a collective. It's very hard to hear.
Very hard to hear. You know, I sometimes give thought to my own situation, and I've met some truly wonderful people through my life and career. I've also met some absolute villains. Some real nasty pieces of work one way and another along life's journey of all of these decades. And sometimes I'll think to myself, why has that been? Why have I had to go through all? Are you saying that all of that garbage, and let's say that I have come across some absolute gems of people, quite a lot of them in my life and career. I have met some people who've been, in my opinion, the exact opposite of that. But I thought to myself, why have I had to go through that at the hands of these people? And you're saying it's for my soul development. Well, thank you very much.
I'm not saying that you were going to enjoy it. I'm saying, yeah, but you know, at the end of the, so in Heaven Sent, I write about the different types of relationships we might experience, from catalyst connections to karmic connections to soulmates to twin flames to life partners. And a lot of these connections, like a karmic relationship who comes into your life like that, who gives you a really nasty experience and you come away with, like, with burnt fingers from it and a bitter taste, you are, like it or not, becoming older and wiser for the experience. Most of us, it's unbelievable really, but most of us, even though we complain about life, most of us want to be here. Most of us say life is beautiful at the end of it. And it's unbelievable really, with everything that goes on in this world, most of us are fighting for the love that we share with others and for the fact that life itself, being in nature, connecting with life, understanding who you really are, is awesomely incredible. If you've ever stood and looked up at the stars and watched the universe, we are a part of that. So, you know, yes, you may well have decided that you were going to come into incarnate, into a physical form, because despite the pain, there was going to be huge gain. And also people say to me, well, what's the point of it all? You know, the point of it all ultimately is, if there isn't good and dark, dark and light, suffering and joy and all those kinds of things, if it didn't exist, there'd be nothing. There'd be nothing. The universe would, and life itself, there would be no thing. We can only have something when there's something to measure it against. And that then means that we enter into a world of duality, and then there's dark and light, up and down, good and bad. It all exists. So we do attract to us the opposite of who we are in soul connection, in relationships, because those people mirror back to us that which we are not. So when you meet someone like that, my stepmom always says to me, bless them for showing you who you don't want to be. I love that expression.
that's right on the money, that one. Sorry.
It is right on the money, because otherwise they leave you feeling awful. You're now walking around peed off, angry, and really suffering within yourself, when they're all just, you know, it seems to me, doing well and going higher and higher and higher in life, whilst, you know, stepping all over everyone and being absolute you know, don't even say the word.
No, I think we can all imagine what it might be. You've got a glossary in the book of useful terms.
I do.
You've used one of them, and yep. I wonder, is it worth working through some of them here, if I feed them to you?
Yeah, go on then, I would love to. That'd be a great thing.
The one that you've used already is catalyst soul connection.
Yes. So a catalyst soul connection is a soul that comes into your orbit, if you want, because given that we are all energy, the law of conservation is that everything just exists. Energy just exists. It just is. It can't die. You are energy. So you are intelligence, consciousness. We could call that soul. So somebody comes into your orbit, to your energy, their energy meets yours. And for whatever reason, there's something about that soul. There is something about that person who is going to mirror back to you something you haven't conquered in yourself yet. And it's going to be a painful learning. So the karmic connection is somebody that you've probably journeyed with before in a previous lifetime, normally most definitely, and you've come back into this lifetime, been attracted to each other's energy because there's something not yet finished between you, and you pick up from where you left off and you continue that storyline to see if you can do better or just to have the experience, I think, just to, you know, be together. But, sorry, did you say karma? You did. I'd say catalyst.
Catalyst soul connection. But no, we understood, I think, you know, what you were getting at.
And
it makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense to an awful lot of people, including myself, what you have just said, even though it's not something that will be part of your day-to-day reality of going to the shops, going to work, getting on the bus, whatever. That's a fact. You know, you travel this journey. I've got, you know, people who've been close to me over the years, and I've often thought those people are here for a reason, or I've known this person before. You know, my friend Katie, and I know she won't mind me mentioning her. She's, when I first arrived in London, Katie was the first, what I would call proper London radio producer that I met. And we instantly liked each other. We have been friends. We talk about anything together for 3 decades since I met her as a young man at LBC Radio. I'd just arrived in London. And we are so aligned. We're not the same person. We're different in some ways, but we, you know, we're both kind of crazy Geminis. And, you know, and we both relate to each other. We can talk about 15 different subjects. But we've always felt that there was a cosmic reason why we found each other as friends, and friends we have been for all that time.
Well, this is what I write in the book. People say you can't obviously scientifically prove the soul. True. But can you know that it exists? Yes, you can. Because most of us will at some point have a soul connection. We will meet somebody and it will be an unexplainable connection. And you met there a soulmate. You met not a romantic soulmate. You met a soulmate. Mm. You met somebody who, when you met each other, your energy, your personality, we say we vibe, don't we, well with people, you just gelled. You recognized each other, I'm sure, from a previous life. It's so, soulmates are almost always harmonious relationships. You vibe high, you feel better for being together, you lift each other up, you understand each other, you see each other's point of view. And even when you're different, the soulmate connection is all about them being able to tell you, you know what, you were wrong there, but I love you unconditionally, so I can tell you this because I'm helping you to grow. So soulmates help each other grow through love. And karmic partners help each other grow through, first of all, sharing love, and then breaking up and really hurting them, and then us having to learn unconditional love of self.
Oh boy.
So there's lots of different connections. So do you want to try another expression?
Ego death.
Okay, so when we have connections and relationships with people, soul connections with people, for instance, a karmic or a catalyst connection, where we meet, we exchange soul energy. There is an instant bonding, an instant recognition, a vibing high. And we are like, this person is incredible. We just get each other. You see each other's soul and you then experience source love, the energy that you are. You exchange it between you. That lifts you up into states of love and bliss. Unfortunately, for most of us, we're carrying around a whole load of baggage. and trauma and things that we've been told since children and life experiences. So once the love has happened between two people, what then happens is the mental side comes in, the ego, the mind, and we all our fears enter into the relationship. So a lot of these loving connections that don't last, when you've had painful loving romances, for instance, that, you know, suddenly end, or one leaves the other at the altar, or something, you know, just they just break down so painfully, they are requiring that you have an ego death, that you let go of the ways that you think, of behaviors that you have, of controlling behavior that you have, because relationships always end because they have not been unconditionally loving enough. They have been absolutely peppered with fear. So we will have an ego death. We will have to level up. We will have to see things from a different perspective, change our behavior, but most importantly, move into finding self-love in order to heal.
Now, if many of us, most of us, have difficulty, as you say, understanding and connecting with our own soul and our purpose, mm-hmm. but our soul, how can we find the soul in another person?
We see it reflected back to us. We have an energetic exchange. We literally feel magnetism towards other souls. Like you say, romantic soulmates are a great case. They meet, they look at each other, there's this energy exchanges. It's very powerful. And they will say, "There you are. There you are. You're the one. I'm going to marry you." The amount of times I've seen people for readings who have said that they met their partner when they were 14, they looked at them, they just knew, I'm marrying that one. They have a soul, it's called soul recognition. It's like when near-death experiences pass and they see their past lives play out, and then they talk about, oh, that's so-and-so who's in this lifetime, but in this lifetime they're a girl, in that lifetime they were a boy, but they're still recognizing their soul, because we're not using our mind. The soul is beyond mind. The soul is consciousness. The mind is brain. So it's an energy exchange, and we just know it. We just feel it. In the book, I talk about a twin flame connection of my own that I've had with a energy healer called Giles, and how when we met, we were experiencing the most unbelievable paranormal experiences, because as our soul energy met, it was triggering past life remembrance, kundalini awakenings, all sorts of crazy that the mind could not grasp. So we don't understand energy, soul consciousness. We don't understand it, but we do all know that when we have interactions with other people, we feel that unconditional love for them. We recognize the soul in them. We know when we've been seen by somebody that loves us, and when we're really feeling seen and validated, and we can be vulnerable with them.
We see
each other's souls.
Okay. This is all interesting. And look, even though there may be people who, you know, don't buy all of this, this all makes absolute sense to me, I think. This is a very strange thing to say, I don't have a lot of friends, right? But those I do have are those that I'm comfortable with and relate
yes.
to, and think, like, you know, my friend Katie, there is something beyond here with them. And I retain those people and a lot of other people who I've kind of sussed out is a bad word. That's not, you know, that I don't have that bond with, that connection to.
There you are. You said it, that bond.
You know, yeah. I don't really count those people as friends. So the other ones, the ones that I do feel that bond that you talked about with, those are the people who I always feel comfortable with and around them. And like I say, there aren't many of them.
No, and they're never
but
really
they are special.
Exactly. And what makes them special isn't just because you together share the same interests, or you like the look of that person, the way they dress, whatever. It's beyond that. When there really is a connection between people, it is a spiritual connection. And in the book, I write about the different types of love that the Greeks talked about, you know, and they talk about, you know, the fact that, say, Eros, romantic love, was just really of the body, but that agape love is the spiritual love. And that's what I'm talking about. Soul love is completely different to love that we make up in our head, fantasies, romanticism, Hollywood movies. I'm not talking about that. Talk to somebody who's lost their child and hear them talk about the gut-wrenching, energetic pull that they feel in their body, the pain in their heart and stomach that is a physical response to the souls being pulled away from each other. And then you will understand what love is. Soul love is an energy that binds us. It is eternal. And we find each other and journey many times over because of that love. And, you know, actually on that point, Howard, I'm sorry, I know I never stop talking, but if people are struggling to understand what, well, I'm just like, oh, I've only got a little bit of time with you. Let me get this out. I'm so passionate. but a lot of people listening to this, this is a big stretch. The soul, one way you can understand if the soul is real is when we look into the research of paranormal researchers and we look at ghost sightings, for instance, we know that there's a difference between a ghost, an apparition, stone tape theory, the sort of, if you want, the imprint or recording of a ghost in the atmosphere, and a spirit being. A spirit being can interact with us. It can communicate. It can respond. A ghost can't. It is literally a recording in the environment. So if we look in the book, I talk about the Battle of Edge Hill in 1642, where there was in Warwick, there was a battle that played out that was really gruesome. It was in the time of King Charles. And as this battle played out, it didn't finish when the battle finished. The battle played out night after night after night in the sky. And people were coming from all around to watch it. Now, this battle was so clear in the sky that in the end, the word got to King Charles. He sent people down and they were able to identify soldiers within the battle. And this is now the only ghost sighting, as far as I'm aware, that is recorded in the British Library and the British records, a true account. Now, that's a ghost sighting. That's a recording in the atmosphere. None of those spirit beings were able to interact with us. Spirit beings have souls. That's the difference. We are a tripart being. We have a body, we have a spirit, we have a soul, tripart being. So we can drop the physical body and go into the spirit world, and then we can even drop the spirit body as a soul and be pure consciousness. But without the soul, without the consciousness, there's nothing. So you can know that there is a soul once you start to research and look into the research of paranormal investigations, spirit communication, past life, experiences, near-death experiences, deathbed visions. You can, and I've written about all this before in my previous books, you can understand that consciousness is more than we understand right now, and that the spirit and the soul exist.
I want to take you away from the useful terms for just half a second.
Yes.
I had a thought last night that disturbed me. I do too much thinking, I think. But, you know, I always have my thinking when I'm not recording stuff, setting up stuff, keeping myself occupied. I can be lying there. And I had a thought last night. I didn't like it. I thought about my mum, who I lost in 2006 way too soon. And she and I were very close and in many ways very similar. I'm very much, you know, my mother's son. Mm. And we lost her in very tragic circumstances. She went into hospital. God knows what we were thinking. We thought she was going to be okay. The last people who would have expected her to die was the family, my sister and I, my dad. We just, it wasn't. So it was, I can't, well, everybody will encounter something like this, but I can't describe the shock. And I had this thought last night that I didn't want to have, and I don't know where it came from. And I panicked when I thought it. The thought was, that was our, in hospital, that was our last conversation. I didn't know it was going to be. I'm never going to have a conversation with her again. And mostly to get on with life, you do not think about that because you can't. And I thought the thought last night. So I'm asking you as a medium, if somebody came to you and said, I had this thought about my mother who I lost, and I freaked when I thought, we're never going to talk again. Medium, there you are. What do you say?
I say you absolutely will talk again. Let me tell you something. I did a reading for a lady this week. Her daughter booked the reading with me over a year ago because my waiting time is usually about 18 months. And of course, I couldn't work all year. So this client thought that she wasn't going to have this reading with me, but I've just recently gone back to work, thankfully, and we were able to honor the reading. Now, at the time, this was booked over a year ago. She could not know that this was going to happen. But as I connected into the spirit world, I connected in with her dad straight away. She was shocked. She told me that her dad had only passed a few days before. And so she had this reading booked as a present bought for her for over a year. But when she actually has the reading with me, her dad died literally in the week before the reading. Mm. I was able to tell her everything that had gone on, from the way that her dad passed, the fact the funeral hasn't happened yet, the fact that what she had done for the funeral and all the arrangements and picked the songs she had chosen, that he hadn't been able to express what songs he wanted, but these were the songs that she'd picked and she loved. I went through everything. She was left in absolutely no doubt. Now, this reading was so phenomenal, I actually even picked up Phenomena on recording, and she's told me that in down the line I'm more than welcome to share this sound publicly. I would love to get it looked into.
Hold on, you picked up, you were recording the session and there was something on the recording?
Yes. So, and in fact, Howard, I might get you to listen to it because you've got really great ears. I know that it was not, it happened. I heard a sound. I saw a shadow pass over me. I heard a sound in the room, physically in the room with me whilst I'm doing this reading. And it's all recorded. So I do want to get it to, and she's given me permission. So what I'm trying to say is, this reading was so on point. She was left knowing there is no way I will never not talk to my dad again. Your loved ones are temporarily parted from you. They are with you. You will see them again and you will have conversations with them again. You will likely, from what I have learned, and I only ever speak from personal experience, you will likely journey with them again. You are not just doing one round around the block. You are soul connected. And so when you have those dark thoughts, that's just the panicky thought of, you know, I'm never going to see you again. And my goodness, it's a long time since I've spoken to you and I haven't heard your voice.
I was able to get to sleep last night by having another thought. And that other thought was, yes, but maybe where she is and where Dad is a place where what I think is years and years of time is a mere blink of an eye.
But it is for them. They're in the realms of no time. So they don't experience the distance between us that we experience from them. They do experience the separation because our physical body filters out our ability to connect in with them. But not entirely, obviously, otherwise you couldn't do mediumship. But, you know, to a large degree, we are all disconnected from the spirit realms because our physical body would be overwhelmed with stimuli otherwise. So it has to filter it out. You know, you will see them again.
Well, for everybody who's been through that, and that's going to be everybody, you know, by the time, you know, I'm talking to you listening to me now, by the time you reach the end of your life's journey, you'll go through this, and I've been through this, and Claire, I'm sure you've been through this.
I have.
It's something that we all have to come to terms with and accept, I think. Anyway, back to the glossary. Only really got time for one more because
that's fine. We've covered a lot.
Doing a ton of recordings at the moment. I've got to do a serious news style interview in about 11 minutes from now. So let's go to the glossary and life partner soul connection. Now, look, just through people that I've known over the years as friends, that's the hardest thing to find. And if this is the point of it all, how come finding life partner soul connection eludes so many people?
Well, it's not the point of it all. The point of it all is to come back to yourself so that you realize that you are the love you are seeking from outside of yourself. So not all of us are here to have life partner connections. And the book focuses on the catalyst and karmic connections being the love connections that force us into finding unconditional love of self. And life partners and romantic soulmates, and there is a difference there, they teach us unconditional love of others. So life partner connections, they're the opposites attract. They're the two that come together. They tend to grow together very slowly. They stay together. Sometimes they don't even know why they're together. They're so different. But I love the life partner dynamic because life partners give each other independence and space. Romantic soulmates are the Hollywood enmeshed couple that eat, sleep, breathe, work together, do everything together. We romanticize it, but they're hugely codependent. So life partners allow each other to be themselves and they somehow manage to stay together for life. Now, even if life partners divorce, they are still in each other's lives because most of us have life partner relationships when we're in, when we're having children, if we're not in a romantic soulmate connection. So, but it isn't about only meeting a life partner. The whole thing that I've written about in this book is there isn't the one. There is, for some people, the one that they're going to marry, but the whole point is all of us souls, as Ram Dass said, are walking each other home. We are all leading each other back to ourselves so that we realize our eternal nature. And if you don't have a life partner in this lifetime, it could well be that you didn't come in to have one because they would be holding you back for something. You know, you, or it might be that you've come in to learn and understand, I am the love that I'm seeking from other people. Or it might be that you don't love yourself enough and you haven't been able to attract somebody to you because you haven't been able to be vulnerable enough with them because you've been too worried or fearful of getting hurt. There's so many, many, many reasons why. But not all of us are here to have life partners, nor is it necessary.
Do you fear death?
No.
And what, in summation, if somebody asked you, as I'm doing now, you know, so Claire Broad, why don't you fear death? Well, you know, why would that be?
Because from the age of four, as much as I can remember, I have been aware of the spiritual realms around me. I have, as a science, as a passion, as an absolute, if you want, addiction even maybe, studied consciousness, spiritual communication, the you know, my connection, my own self. I have studied this. I've had so much phenomena and so much evidence over my lifetime that I now cannot doubt that consciousness survives physical death. I fear dying. I fear pain. I fear, I suppose sometimes I might get a bit fearful as in, you know, what's it like over there? Where am I going to end up? Do I fear death? No, death isn't real to me. Why should I fear something that isn't if I am? So I don't.
Okay.
Sorry, Howard.
No, that was very comprehensive, and thank you. I think I'm watching too many rolling Facebook videos at the moment. One of the ones that came up last night, and I have heard this before, and I think I might even have mentioned it on one of the years and years of shows that I've done. This idea that when we die, and there's no, I don't, I'm not expecting you to know anything about this, but I just wondered if you'd heard it. There is the claim that we are, is it 21 grams lighter at the point of death?
Yes, that's old research now. So that was done back in sort of, if you want, the turn of the century, basically. That was a scientist, I forget his name, but he did start measuring people so that after, you know, as they were dying, he would measure them and he noticed that people were 21 grams lighter, didn't matter on their weight. And he surmised that that was the soul. I think that that has been pretty much debunked now, based on the research and what, you know, it's not that credible.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, the soul is energy. It doesn't have a weight, or consciousness doesn't have a weight. But it is interesting that science is looking into these things and trying to understand the soul and consciousness. And there's a lot of credible science out there now that isn't getting talked about. And it's frustrating because this is what plays into the whole mediumship is fraudulent and it's all rubbish. And it, you know, true, when it's done with genuine interest and with quality ability, put the two together, that is rare. There is a really compelling evidence.
We need to talk again, Claire. So this book is Heaven Sent, and I think it's been out about 6 weeks now.
Yes, it hasn't been out long from October. So, yes, it's all very new and I can't wait to... It's a deep dive and people will have to digest it slowly, but I just can't wait to start getting this knowledge out there because it's taking people onto the next level of their understanding.
Your honest enthusiasm for it all is always the thing that bowls me over, Claire Broad. You know, other people, listeners' opinions may differ. That's what I think. And, you know, that comes from my heart and soul. So thank you very much. I wish you a great, you know, Christmas, holiday period, all that sort of stuff. And we'll talk in 24.
I would love that. Happy Christmas, everybody listening, and thank you, Howard. I feel the same towards you.
Claire Broad, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thank you.
And my thanks and good wishes to Claire Broad. We will hear from her again. The new book, of course, is called Heaven Sent. Out now, as they say on TV. Well, that's it. Thank you very much indeed for listening. If you're listening at Christmas time, I hope that you're able to relax and enjoying the sunshine if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, or enjoying whatever we've got here in Europe or North America. I hope it's okay for you. And if you're listening close to the new year, then I wish you well for that, of course. And thank you for supporting and being my friend over this last year of 2023 that has produced challenges and some smiles all along the way. I guess that's the way that life works, isn't it? You know, the older I get, the more I learn about that, I think. So thank you very much. And please keep in touch with me through the Facebook page and, of course, through emails, which you can send to me via the website. If you've made a donation to the show, again, thank you very, very much for helping me in that way. I really do appreciate it. More great guests in the pipeline at the end of the year here on The Unexplained. So until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained Online. Please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.